Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Level 11P7 here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. And here in Bunker 54. No, episode 54. Down here in the studio.
Maya the Aides World is Headquarters.
Here. I think yes. It's Bunker 51.
No, that would be Station 51.
Area 51.
Area 51. Well, Station 51 is in Los Angeles in the Rampart District. For those of you who have watched Emergency growing up in back in the day. Maya Aides is here.
Yep.
Dan Handley's here.
Hello.
Timothy Harvey's here.
I am here, and I watched Emergency back in the day.
I did, too. And when Randolph Mantooth showed up on Battlestar Galactica, my mind just went, wait a minute.
I know. It's like, hang on a second.
They could play more than one character.
How did he get into space?
Yeah, and he's using a different name. What?
Crazy.
And now that we've dated ourselves once again.
Because nobody else will.
Same joke, different joke.
And I don't think I'll use that joke again.
Until the next time.
Nah, I don't think I'll use that joke again.
Until the next time.
Because every time I do, I'm reminded of just how old I am and how much time I actually do spend down here in the basement, in the bunker, it's not a pretty thought process.
Well, we've got to keep you down there because every time you come out and see your shadow, we get more winter.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of ouchy.
Speaking of...
Get back in your cage!
Speaking of shadows, and cages, actually, emotional cages, tonight's episode, Melinda, for those of you who are just joining us for the very first time, first of all, welcome. We do talk about all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We concentrate on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. during the time that the show is in first-run episodes. And tonight's episode, Melinda, we finally get the explanation of why she's called the Cavalry. And that's cavalry, not calvary. We had that discussion during a commercial break. And interesting little tie-in between what happened in Bahrain and the modern, the present-day story involving Sky, which I thought was good that we had some sort of intersection between those two threads because the last couple of episodes we've had this plot and never the twain shall meet. And it's nice to see them kind of coming together just at least a little bit.
Actually, all three of our threads are sort of coming together now.
Yeah, they're starting to intertwine, which
they're
is
starting
be good.
To cross the streams. Yeah. Oh, wait, wrong fandom.
Well, it actually could prove to be effective, at least in the short term. We'll see what it means in setting up the new spinoff. Because the rumor is that the spinoff is going to flow out of whatever is coming in the next few episodes. Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be their tie-in with Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think they're going to tie in, though?
Well, considering they've got one episode left before Age of Ultron opens.
No.
Yeah.
You've got the 21st, which is next week.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, you have the 28th.
Okay, two left.
Two episodes.
Okay, we got two episodes left.
And then they've got, another couple after?
This is episode 17, so there's five left.
Yeah, but considering where they're building to right now, and... how much they managed to tie into Winter Soldier the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am predicting, and I could be wrong. It's been known to happen.
You have a theory?
I have a theory that it's actually going to connect with it's going to connect with Age of Ultron because it's a big cross promotional thing,
right? Which we saw starting tonight.
Mm-hmm. And then it's going to blow up, and when all the dust settles, Agent Coulson will be in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. or at least he'll be in charge of his own team again and without the responsibility of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's going to be one or the other. We're not going to go back to, it's either going to mm-hmm. be his, it's the, it's going to be the Coulson show going forward, or it's going to be him being back in the field with his select team.
It'll be like a Star Trek thing. He's the captain, but he keeps going on the away team.
Well, see, I've read a couple of things about that. Some different theories and suppositions and analyses on the web regarding Coulson specifically, but also what form this new spinoff could or should take.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into that a little bit more in the analysis part of the program. We can talk plot for a second here, because Coulson actually is not very much in this episode. He does figure into the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't
not in the current day. Most of what we see of him this week is in the Bahrain. Yeah,
and it is an interesting. It's a pretty straightforward episode. In the past, in the flashbacks, we get Coulson and May are part of a team that's going in to retrieve Ava. Now I've already gone blank on her last name.
It's Russian and starts with B.
Yeah, vamp amongst yourselves. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
So basically, she's a Russian who has displayed powers. Apparently, is super strong, and the S.H.I.E.L.D. team goes in to make contact because they are concerned that she could get into the hands of another government.
Yeah, but don't. I know they said they were going in to make contact, but I really thought they were just going in to retrieve her.
Eva Belyakov.
Well, that's kind of that sort of was the definition of make contact.
Oh, well, it's make contact and bag and tag.
Basically
is what it is. So.
Yeah, I think that there's a number of curious things about
not a
that.
Tag and release program, but a bag and tag.
Right. Well, one of the curious things about the whole thing is that S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of established in the films and on the show as being a U.S. based. The leadership seems to be based out of the U.S. The primary
not
location.
Not worldwide.
Well, I mean, you have worldwide locations, but the U.S. is the hub. Right?
Some worldwide authority as well.
And answerable to the U.S. government.
Right. So we are going to go to a foreign country where we are going to decide that we're going to do whatever we want.
Armed on foreign soil.
This is kind of like the this is kind of like when I was watching Transformers 2 and I'm going, you do realize that the U.S. Air Force has just invaded Egypt, right? I'm pretty sure the Egyptian army is going to say, you want what?
I don't think Michael Bay cares.
No, he doesn't care. And that was, I mean, you know, but it's a little bit hand wavy with, you know, other governments.
With a whole lot of not caring.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, you get something like that here, and that's one of those little. There were several alarm bells that went off with me tonight in terms of story stuff, but
so
that was one of them. It's like, I'm sorry, isn't Bahrain like a sovereign?
It is. It is a kingdom in the Persian Gulf.
Uh-huh.
Very, 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 very tiny.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that they would object.
So
to a U.S. agency coming in and going, hi.
Although my impression was that the S.H.I.E.L.D. team was able to go in.
That they were working with them.
They were working. They were on the clock. There was a clock ticking that said, we need to do this before their military.
Right,
comes in.
But their concern was that the government of Bahrain would get their hands on her. In which case, why did the government of Bahrain even let them in?
So let me understand you properly. All right, a U.S. based government organization goes in with armed people to a foreign country, and you're saying this is unusual?
Well, actually, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it. Well, generally speaking, we've kind of established that it has been frowned upon.
Well, that is true.
There we go. I think we can all agree on that it has been frowned upon. You've got 42 minutes to tell a story, okay, and we are dealing in the past,
and this is just the flashback.
And this is the flashback, right?
And we're concentrating on May,
but we are dealing with a point where S.H.I.E.L.D. had much more power, back in the day.
Yes.
And much more authority.
Yes. And was a lot more secretive.
And a lot more secretive. Despite the fact that the modern version
maybe,
of
maybe
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, the modern version of S.H.I.E.L.D. apparently seems to think that everything needs to be out in the light, even though you're a spy agency, which...
and they're not
everybody
exactly
standing around in suits.
Still not so sure this is a good idea.
Yeah. Did they not have, like, anything that could help them blend in a little bit? I mean, it made it really easy for us
right.
as audience members to tell, oh, there's one guy,
oh, their tradecraft. Their tradecraft sucked.
Oh, yeah. Well,
worst,
it has
worked. Worst tradecraft ever.
I really think that had to be for our benefit to be able to tell where they were.
Okay, but that's even worse then, because that's like not trusting your audience, which is the biggest sin that
I'm just saying
Hollywood commits on a regular basis, and they got to stop.
Hollywood can do it can identify people just by the camera angle
yes.
and just the
yes.
expression on a person's face.
Well, of
you
course
say,
they
oh,
can.
That's the spy. You don't have to dress them up completely.
Yeah.
And say,
well,
hey, this
yeah.
is James Bond.
Black suit, white shirt, sunglasses, earpiece. Yeah.
Yeah. There was one of the several issues with tonight's episode.
They just really, really like sore thumb, black eye.
Pardon me, are you the foreign agent? No,
no.
What do you mean?
Oh, do you have any Grey Poupon?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I thought you were a foreign agent, what with your very nice suit.
The dry vodka martinis, shaken, not stirred, you know.
Although, it interestingly enough, the twist at the end, I mean, we saw it coming a little bit.
What?
We saw it coming. You saw it coming. I saw it coming. You did either of you did
which
with
twist
the girl? Died?
So there's a little girl that is in the course.
Hostage.
The little girl becomes a hostage as our Russian power.
Now a little bit of setup because May and her husband have just been talking
trying,
about having
yeah.
kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's your emotional hook
yeah.
mm-hmm.
for the character. And now you've got this girl being
so
held
the
honestly,
Coulson's,
there for a while, I had forgotten about the little girl.
So Coulson's confrontation to try and talk this into a situation where you come away with us and you'll be safe and we can discuss your powers and all these things. And then apparently it turns into a hostage situation, apparently, because there's a local militia / gang comes into the situation, and the little girl gets grabbed, and suddenly it's everyone is holed up in a building, and they're talking about storming the building with the S.H.I.E.L.D. assault team, and the negotiation lasts all of 5 seconds, which, as last time I checked, that's not how negotiation works, but hey, we got 42 minutes, we got to clip the story along. It's like, leave us alone. Okay, then. Storm the building. Wait, hang on. In the back. There was a film was it Denzel Washington and, crap, The Negotiator?
No, it was Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, yes.
Which,
great movie.
Hour and a half of solid negotiation. I'm pretty sure you can take some time and play that out. But apparently here, one line, bam, you're in. But,
they needed Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, wait.
Hang on. And suddenly we cross over the two universes, and Kevin Spacey shows up, but he's the president, and, and all of a sudden the internet exploded.
No. Morgan Freeman is the president.
Well, no, currently Kevin Spacey is the president.
The whole
House
of Cards.
And you get Robin
yeah,
Wright, and Robin Wright makes everything better. So
I don't think that word means what you think it means. Samuel L. Jackson is the man in black.
And then Carrie Elwes does a cameo, and all of a sudden, Mandy Patinkin stops by with a sword.
Mandy Patinkin can be the new six-fingered man.
There you go. But you have to have
and
Christopher
unicorns.
Guest.
Yes.
But anyway, so basically the...
wow, we got way off plot.
Yes.
You've been
we
to one
do
of
that.
These before,
yes.
haven't
but
you?
I
but
have.
See, but see, but the thing about it is, though, as I said, this one's a pretty straightforward episode because the stuff with Sky is just a continuation of what we had last week. It's,
yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mom is training her to control her powers. Sky figures out how to make
an avalanche,
uh-huh.
mountain vibrate, and the avalanche comes down and
uh-huh.
right down on top of Ra's al Ghul's hideaway. Right? Oh wait, no, but but that's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's just there, and then we get the reveal You know, Sky's like, I don't even know what my birthday is. And she says, July 2nd. Wait, what? And you have the reveal that this is Mom. And it's a very emotional scene. It's played very well, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, given that Sky probably already suspected, and you've got the, well, she never trains anybody. Telegraph. So you've got that piece. And the bulk of the episode is concentrated on what's going on with May, both right. in the past and in the present.
Right.
Because she's been given command of the S.H.I.E.L.D. base, Coulson's base.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean she's on the board? Does that mean she said yes to the...
That's not clear.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I don't know if she's on the board. The implication is she's thrown in with them, but she could be doing that just as a way to infiltrate.
I think for them to give her the base back, she would have to have said yes to being on their governing board,
or at least.
I don't think they would. They would not. No, they're not. You're not.
They're
not going to give the base back to her. She's not going to sit there and say, "I'm going to play along." Now she could be lying because.
She does that.
They're a secretive spy organization that preaches transparency.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer.
There's a whole bunch of logic flaws here with whole thing. But
and it really bugs me every time. It's like they keep talking about no secrets and everything. It's like,
we got two SHIELDs going on. We actually have two different ways of looking at that. We've got that going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. and we've got the secrecy nonsense going on. Oh, wait, did I just give away what I think about it? Secrecy nonsense going on over in the Sky storyline.
Oh, you mean about the mother and... You mean...
Yeah.
Which secrecy?
Well, the part that it's like, oh, we have to keep it secret that you're my child because this is not going to come back to haunt you. This is not going to be something that it's telegraphing in big neon signs.
Although the rationalization is, and this is where it intersects. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. This is where it intersects with May's story.
Right.
Because in Bahrain, Eva Belyakova, she stole a diviner,
mm-hmm.
and used the Terrigen Mist on her daughter.
Was it a diviner or was it just the crystals?
She stole the crystals. I wasn't sure if that was really a diviner. And basically gave her daughter powers.
Mm-hmm.
Which drove her insane. And she's the driving force behind the bad, awful, terrible stuff that May has to deal with, mm-hmm. as far as the hostage situation goes.
She's feeding off the pain of those. She's essentially possessing them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interestingly enough, this is maybe a taste of what it's going to be like for the Purple Man showing up over
on Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, it's in many ways it's a possession kind of thing.
Is he an Inhuman?
No, he's not. But it's going to be very interesting considering this is a character.
He's a Time Lord.
Well, yeah, David Tennant is going to play one of the most reprehensible characters in the Marvel Universe because the Purple Man is kind of the worst kind of monster you could imagine because he takes advantage of the fact that he can do all those terrible things.
Right.
So luckily it's going to be on not a regular network channel because it'd be like it's going to be very, very curious. But here it is the kind of horror of it because these people are not being – they're not being –
Themselves.
And they're feeding her. And what's interesting is that the second time she touches several of them toward the end of the episode,
it looks like just hand waving, basically letting them, releasing them, and they're dead.
Yeah, well, we can't tell if they're dead, but that's the implication.
Yeah,
and so I mean, she's pretty monstrous child, and.
So
May has to do a pretty monstrous thing and kill the girl.
Yeah.
And that's what takes her out of the field and destroys her marriage.
And she takes herself out of the field.
Yeah.
This is clearly a decision that she has asked for. This is a question that she withdraws from her husband. She decides to go off the field. She asks for the transfer.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting to see, you know, from the office of Maria Hill, on that transfer paper that said, you know, your request for transfer has been accepted. So Maria Hill apparently more higher up even back then, because that that was 7 years ago in the chronology of the story. Right. Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into more in-depth analysis. We'll talk about the family dinner. And more hijinks in the diner with this time with Fitz. All of that and more when Level 117 continues right after this.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we, and some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi, folks. My name is Timothy Hardy, and I am one of the co-hosts of H2O, the weekly show about everything genre that I host with Mr. Jason Hunt. And we talk about pretty much anything you need to hear about or want to hear about or didn't know you needed to hear about in the world of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, science fiction, all these great things that we cover every week. And it is just an opportunity for you to tune in and listen to some really, really fun stuff. H2O, scififorme.com. We'd love to have you listen.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, and Week in Review, where we deliver a digest of the news of the week. All part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra!
Back on Level 117, Jason Hunt here, along with Maya Aids, Tim Harvey,
hello.
And Dan Hanley.
Hello.
And we are talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode Melinda, and we talked fairly, well, I guess fairly enough about plot. Because, you know, it is what it is. And let's...
In many ways, I mean, there's...
About the only thing we didn't talk about in with any depth was the dinner. The family
yeah,
dinner.
Yeah, the family dinner.
Which we only just sort of mentioned there at the
Mom
end.
Mom brings Skye in to meet Cal.
Well, not to meet, because she...
Well, I mean, they're not meeting for the first time, but they're meeting there at the facility, at the retreat, as it were. And it's, you know, Cal's on his best behavior. He's happy to get a second chance just to sit and talk and whatever. And mom is all, you know, he did everything he could out of love, and he never gave up on you. And he just, you know, just one dinner, and you never have to see him again, and I can send him away.
Just a sweet family reunion.
Yeah, which, you know, okay.
No.
Sit down and
no.
What's your problem?
Well, let's see. let's...
Remember, we only have 45 minutes.
I know, but there's a couple of things here that this I had a problem with this last week with this whole inhuman enclave thing they got going on over here, and it's continuing into this week. It still doesn't make any sense.
The fact that virtually everybody looks like a regular human being.
Well, I had somebody point out that the kid playing.
Lincoln
is from the Tomorrow People.
Yes.
Playing a very, which is basically the pretty Inhumans.
Yeah, and they noticed, and I saw something to that effect as well, talking about how he's, I think it was an interview with him, talking about how he's basically given the same speech to Skye that he gave to Robbie Amell's character over there on Tomorrow People.
Right, so.
Pretty much word for word.
I think they're all pretty Inhuman at this point.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's true. Well, the basic premise here is just really flawed. Is that you've got this this group of people that may or may not be allowed to have superpowers, who are waiting patiently to be allowed to find out if they may or may not be allowed to have superpowers. And they're brought there by one guy who is teleporting them in and out because these are the people who are patiently waiting in line to find out if they can or cannot have super. What? This none of this.
Have you ever seen a cult before?
Sure. That's just it.
It gets bizarre.
It actually has more of a cult structure than it does any kind of rational behavior. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, how do you even know that? They've gone out into the world to find the people who may have the inhuman gene, and they're going to sit there and say, hey, maybe. We'll think about it. Mm-hmm. We'll let you know. Oh, wait, you want to come hang out with us and not have anything happen? Okay, sure, come on. And then we have this...
But it could be a cult, though.
It does have aspects of that. Especially when you consider that you've got this leader of the cult who's now doing the leader of the Inhumans. I mean, of the people with powers, whatever they're calling themselves. I haven't used the word Inhuman yet. Who basically is
cultists.
Now doing do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah. Which never goes well.
Which always goes. Yeah, it always ends well for everyone. And then you have Sky being incredibly oblivious to everything. Her mother has been saying for the last two episodes where basically it's like, I'm so proud of you. I've just met you. I'm amazed at what you can do. I just met you. It makes me so happy to see what you could do. I just met you. What's going on? And just the fact that her eyes well up with tears about every other mm-hmm. second she looks at mm-hmm. her. It's like, are you okay?
Do you have this problem often?
Yeah, exactly. Do you sit down?
Do you know your eyes do this thing?
Well, and to be fair, though, Mother looks at Sky and says, you probably already suspected. I mean,
yeah,
there is
because
that
Sky's
line,
not an idiot.
Right.
Except that she's basically been played as one for not recognizing this as her mother. Because this is, I mean, let me tone that down. She's not played as an idiot. It's just a very heavy-handed display of... You know, it's so obvious that it's her mom, yeah. even if we didn't know by just looking at the actress that it's the same person, the fact that it is, it's like, you know, gee, could that be her mom? We would have been saying that
we're recognizing her as a mom doesn't necessarily mean that Skye's going to recognize her.
No, but I'm saying that in terms of what the character is doing.
Right.
It's kind of like, do we know each other from somewhere?
Well, I don't think she would have any reason to think that there's a connection, though.
Except for the fact that this person is coming across very, very heavy with the, you know, I'm so proud of you.
But everybody has. Everybody who has had contact with her.
There's an emotional attachment. There's an emotional expression that she's doing with Skye that is not warranted from a total stranger.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a lot warmer. It's a lot more personal,
and not really what you expect from a Frankenstein's monster.
It would be like you and I meeting for the first time, and my being extremely concerned about your well-being in a way that you're not going to get from some total stranger.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, I there's a difference between me going, "Are you okay?" as opposed to, "Are you okay?" You know, It felt very obvious. And then, because it doesn't stop there, folks.
Keep going.
And then we have the whole...
we need to keep this a secret.
We need to keep a secret thing. And the dinner of doom, which is clearly going to end well.
Yeah.
But before we have that, we have Skye's amazing ability to get a grasp on her powers incredibly quickly, which I have to say, I give her great kudos for her ability to figure out the vibrational frequency of everything as quickly as she has, because everything does, in fact, have a vibrational frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything does not have the same vibrational frequency.
No.
And the mountain across the valley
has is, many.
is not made up of a thing.
No.
It's not a mountain. A mountain is a bunch of things. Yes, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And wow, I really, really hope there wasn't anybody, any villages at the base of that mountain, or any animals, or any
snowboarders,
endangered species, or something, because not anymore.
Gone.
Because Sky just broke them all.
Maybe she didn't move the mountain. Maybe she just moved the snow, because when she was doing the wine glass thing, she was moving the water.
Yeah,
so it's a water thing, you know?
If you're still in the town down at the bottom
no,
of
no,
the
I know.
You're
but
still
I'm just
toast.
Saying. You know, snow, water, water,
true.
Glass,
well,
water.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very
water
good
point. In the faucet, water.
Ooh, wouldn't that be funny? No,
that?
Actually, your powers are just about water.
Sorry. And it's kind of interesting how you could shake a mountain, but the people very close by don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's
right.
You think that shaking the mountain would shake the ground, even though she's focusing it. I mean,
well,
seriously.
Yes, because there are no stones or other things that might make the mountain closer to her. This is very true. it's a little fuzzy. It's a little ill defined. Like the logic of having dinner with your psychotic ex husband, or psychotic husband, depending on your point of view, who has, you know. Oh, well, you know, let's just leave the part with the psychotic part.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a mass murderer.
Do you suppose he rebuilt the furniture?
Among other things. Well, I'm presuming it's a different room.
I am too.
I'm just curious as to how the mother was rebuilt.
Yeah, because...
Well, and there's a throwaway line about how he put me back together.
Exactly.
And that's all we get.
What I caught.
And again...
She's Frankenstein's monster right
But
there.
We have other questions here, because Sky should be asking questions like...
How?
Wait, I thought you were dead. This is the question that she never asks
no.
in this episode.
Well, after the time that she's been with S.H.I.E.L.D., she's probably not surprised by much of anything anymore.
Well,
no.
Given that Coulson was dead, and she's been working with Coulson very much alive.
Yeah, but her father told her how her mother died.
Right.
And generally speaking, when they scoop out your internal organs... And they basically take you apart the way that apparently she was taken apart.
Yeah,
you're mostly meat at that point. You're not really a whole lot of person. So
just mostly dead.
Now, admittedly, you know, Dad is not the most reliable of narrators. However,
right.
still, you'd think that at some point this episode she would sit there and say, "I thought you were dead."
Maybe we get that in the next episode after she gets over the shock.
And
she's having dinner.
Yeah, with them.
That's not really going to be much of a place to ask such an antagonistic question like that.
No, you should have asked that
because,
before when you're having the conversation.
That's true. But you notice Mom is looking at Sky like, humor him, dear. Just let him tell his story. Let him have his moment.
Mom's kind of freaking me out.
You think?
I don't.
A little bit?
Well, and I think part of it is the way this whole thing is being written. I don't. Mom's logic is not holding up very well here. Mom does not seem to know what... She's not the best of all possible moms here.
There's something that's starting to really bother me. And if Cal told Sky that Mom was dead, but he's the one that put her back together and knew that she's alive, how come he didn't say that she's alive?
Because he's crazy.
Unreliable narrator.
Unless, unless he put her back together in a desperate attempt to save her, and for whatever reason, it didn't work. There wasn't an immediate result. So he figures she's dead, and he leaves her wherever it is that he put her together,
we'll
get that story.
But the thing is that, quite frankly, I still don't understand how Scott, this is not the first question out of Sky's mouth. Or at least
because the writers didn't want it to be that way.
Well, I know, but that is an obvious thing that
is
missing. Yeah. It's absence is the problem. Because generally speaking, if someone you think is dead turns out to not be dead, at some point in the relative closeness to the period you discover this, the words "I thought you were dead" will probably come out of your mouth.
It was a comic book death.
Even in Star Trek II, when it was just a simulated death, Kirk even asked Spock, "Aren't you dead?"
Exactly.
You know, and Not to give it away or anything, because
spoilers. Thanks a lot, man.
He ended up actually dead at the end of the movie.
What?
But,
Oh, man.
And
which was also a comic book death.
And for the record,
it was a comic book death.
The next Star Trek is 13, not 3. I just want to, every chance I get, I just can't stand all these people calling it Star Trek 3.
Well,
we had that movie.
That was the Search
way
for
back
Spock.
When.
Yeah, well, Simon Pegg is the main one of the main writers on it, so there's some Pope. Anyway, but we digress.
Anyway, yeah, we digress. Let's talk, since we're on Sky and all of that, mm-hmm, we've got 5 episodes left. The prevailing theory that's building around the internet, and if it's on the internet, you know it's true.
Of course.
Is that we're setting up for a Secret Warriors spinoff. Mm. I've also seen theories of Secret Avengers. I don't know that we couldn't have both. But given where Skye's story is likely to take her, Daisy Johnson, Quake, and all of that, and given that, who is this playing Lincoln? Is
nicknamed Sparky.
He's such a. Oh yeah, that's an interesting little bit of antagonism between Lincoln and Gordon. What do you think that's all about?
That's a good question. This is the first time we've actually seen Gordon be like really
irritated,
kind of unpleasant with somebody. Yeah. Well, and then we've got Lincoln showing up at the end of the dinner.
Yes.
Like, yeah. What is
that's
he doing?
What, that's
he
just walked part, in that's there. What my finger was what, about. Was that
they
we
left
had
the door
finished
open.
The dinner.
Hmm?
They left the door open.
Remember,
that was their first mistake.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Raina's nightmare.
Yes.
Okay, because
we haven't even gotten to that part yet.
Well, but it ties in with the dinner.
It does. Yes, because Raina apparently has been having nightmares. She still considers herself to be a freak and
monster.
She just wants to leave. Of course, Lincoln's like, you're in the best place for you. We can help you. And you know, it's, you know, and Gordon is telling her, you know, there's no reason to leave. This is the best place for you to be. And she tells Lincoln that she's having dreams of Sky having the happy ending, the happy family dinner. Daisy's on the table and mom and dad and dinner and all that. And
Daisy's on the table? What is this?
But the flowers, the flowers on the table.
Daisies. The bouquet of daisies.
You should stop that, man. This is not that kind of show. Stop that.
I'm just saying.
Bouquet of daisies.
And Lincoln walks in. And of course, we don't know why Lincoln is there. But Lincoln walks in at the end of the show, and he sees this tableau here of the flowers on the table. And
thus perpetuating the ability to keep it all secret.
Yes.
The familiar relationship.
Right. Yes.
And so he recognizes that Raina apparently is precognitive.
Perhaps.
Who is she? Who do you think that character is?
I don't know. There were a couple people that it was suspected that
maybe
she
it's
was.
Just a deja vu kind of thing.
No. She's precog. And but the theory now is that we're leading into a Secret Warriors thing with Daisy Johnson being the lead.
I don't see she and Raina working too well together.
No. I don't think Raina. Well, no, because Ruth Negga is going over to Preacher. She's got another series that she's going to be one of the leads on. So that's a commitment that she's already going to. So Raina's not very long for this show.
So either something's happening to that character or, and we weren't sure if that was even the same actress tonight.
Right.
Although,
and like you said, Tim is saying he doesn't think it's the same person. I'm leaning that direction, although IMDb's known to be wrong, but it says that she's still playing the character.
Well, and she may have been, but to me the makeup looked
it
different.
Looked, yeah,
the
it
sound,
a lot
voice
the
voice was
sounded
different.
Yeah.
And again, because
so
she is
different.
Because she is going over to Preacher, then it would make sense because now that it is primarily an acting under makeup role.
It can be anybody.
And I think they got, if it was a different actress, then she got the rhythm of the voice very close. The sound of the voice, not so much. It didn't seem that way to me. but the rhythm was very, very good. So
there's
there's a
melancholiness.
The tone is different, though.
There's a melancholy to the other actress's voice that this lady doesn't capture.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you capture melancholy in your voice, but...
Well, it's, you know, it is, there is something to that. You have to, and whoever is in that role now, if it's somebody new, has obviously done some study of Ruth's performance just to get the feel for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, given that we've got Luke Mitchell playing Lincoln, and he's coming off of, he came off the Tomorrow People to be here in this recurring role, what are the odds that... the new S.H.I.E.L.D. show is going to be all the young pretty people to kind of CW it a little.
I don't know why you would think there would possibly be a market for that. I mean, I think that's a real stretch. I think that... There is no evidence to indicate that people want to see a large group of attractive young people...
well, because I'm
in the world fighting for the benefit of humanity. I think that it's
crazy.
It's crazy nice talk.
Yeah. Well, comicbook.com has a theory, you know, and they spell out the parallels between the Secret Warriors' first appearance in Dark Reign, written by this is back when Norman Osborn took over S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
S.H.I.E.L.D. has fallen. And now you've got Hammer and all of that storyline. And correct me if I'm wrong, did that come out of Civil War or was that before? That came out of Civil War. So there's a Civil War tie-in there. Granted, we can't use any Norman Osborn. Or we could. Now that Marvel's made a deal with Sony.
I think Jason's head just spun.
Mind trip. What would happen if Norman Osborn shows up at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just a real quick cameo bit as the person in charge of real S.H.I.E.L.D. He's the one officially in charge of guns of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, but here's the thing: is that it we need to get our Peter Parker into this universe,
and that'll happen in Civil War.
Who's going to be a teenager?
Yes, in high school.
And we're not getting an origin story.
Nope, we're not.
It's like crazy talk. I don't know what to do.
And Feige says that the costume has already been designed.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so the parallels here: we got Norman Osborn and Hammer. You have similar circumstances now. Instead of Hammer and Osborn, you've got Hydra. You've got this split in S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury had a protege as part of the Secret Warriors, and that protege was Daisy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
In a relationship that's very, very similar to what's going on between Sky and Coulson now in the show. And Daisy Johnson eventually ends up being the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. at one point. You know, so there are big things in store for this character. Do you think Chloe Bennett's got the chops to pull it off if they give her the lead on a Secret Warriors series?
I would like
to... Or does she play better as part of an ensemble?
I think that, honestly, I think that if they want to give her that kind of...
I think she could.
I think they still want to build her up to it.
Yeah, but I think she's...
They're probably doing in
this
next...
No, but I want more than 5 or 6 episodes.
Well, I mean, there's only 5 left in the series, season.
But we've established that she's 26 years old.
Yes.
Okay. So tonight, we know this, that she's 26 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she can do math in her head. And we want to just basically put her in... I don't know.
I'm not saying they put her in charge of Secret Warriors. I'm saying that she becomes the lead on the show.
Yeah.
On the spinoff. Yes. Actually, you know what? Honestly, yes. I think that the first, back in the day, first half of the first season, when we could have cheerfully sat there and gone, why is she on the show?
Yeah.
Because we did.
Right.
We did.
We
did. But we also said
you did
the same,
especially.
We also said the same thing about Grant.
Well, yeah, I know. And
the cardboard man.
Having things play out the way they did actually was something that was worthwhile. I mean, I think she's both characters became something really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, certainly she's grown in a way that it's no longer just painful. And that was the writing. And yeah. I think that, you know,
and also waiting around for the top movie tie-in.
Much wheel spinning. So,
well, and that makes me wonder, since we mentioned the tie-in with Civil War, and we are getting a little bit of that with, you know, hey, do we need to be keeping track of all these superpowers or not? Because that's part of the question now of what Coulson has been keeping secret from everybody, is his list of powered people, his recruitment, and apparently, just to hear
order
from
for
the dialogue,
bunk beds.
He's building another compound somewhere.
The Theta Protocol.
Yeah, the Theta Protocol. What do you think? What's up with that? What do you think that is?
No.
I don't think anybody knows what it is.
What do you think it is?
I don't even think Coulson knows what it is.
You really? You don't think he knows?
No,
he's got to know.
He's got to know. Unless...
It's very telling, though, that May didn't know.
Unless he's just
each
carrying
of them
out...
knew a part. Each of them knew a part of it.
I don't think so. No, because they came in when they hit May with Theta Protocol. She'd never heard of it until they said it.
Well, she didn't know the name, but she knew parts of what was going on.
They gave that to her afterwards. Yeah.
But when Coulson was given the directorship of S.H.I.E.L.D., Fury said, "Here are all these different things around here. You know, this type of thing." So what if he really doesn't know what he's doing? He's following what Fury laid out.
Do you think Theta Protocol might be something that Fury put in the box?
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Oh, yeah. I think the directions are in there, and I don't think he came up with that all on his own.
It's a possibility. It's a theory.
It's a theory. How do you think this is going to lead into Civil War?
I don't know.
Not a clue.
Yes. Well, there's a couple of things to think about. One is... we're looking at some very interesting timing in relationship to Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Theta Protocol suddenly becoming a thing. Although, actually, it was mentioned earlier in the season.
It was?
It was? When?
Yeah, the end of the first half of the season. We had our mid... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know this because I just looked it up.
Cheater.
Because I didn't remember either. But it has been mentioned.
But in what context?
Throwaway line, essentially.
Which episode?
It was the mid-season finale.
Oh. Okay.
And somebody raised a good very good point. Where are the Koenigs?
The what?
Yes.
Where are?
Maybe those 100 bunk beds are for all the Koenigs.
That's right, they're for all the
Koenigs. What are the Koenigs again?
The agents. Mm-hmm. Patton Oswalt.
Oh,
the clones.
God, yeah.
The twins.
We haven't seen them in ages.
Well, there are three of them.
Where are they?
Because one of them died.
I don't know.
There we go.
Well, we know of three.
We know of three.
We don't
we
know.
Knew
we're
of
limited
three.
To three. Yeah, there could be more of them. Maybe that's who the bunk beds are for.
That's right. Well, the question becomes is there a connection between, you know, we have something that is obviously very, very big and obviously complicated and probably involves a large group of superpowered individuals.
Right.
We're leading up to Age of Ultron and a film about the conflict between two different views of how superheroes, how powered individuals should be interacting with the world.
Right.
With the Civil War.
I have a question. When they say powered individuals, they mean just superpowers?
Anybody
or they mean something like Deathlok where it's like...
Yes, all of them.
Okay.
And remember that Simmons suggested making the distinction between enhanced...
Like Deathlok.
Like Deathlok. And what was the other word that she said? Because she couldn't say mutant. What was the word?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. But the distinction was that versus it
a
being
natural,
something
right, yeah, yeah.
Where genetic it was, or something
is actually part of the person
bodies,
itself.
Or yeah.
Yeah. So and that could be part of the protocol as well. Where
right.
where
true.
you have to select, okay, which box do they fit into and then put them.
What if you have I'm not sure whether to call it a person, but you have somebody who has both.
Well, I'd say the natural instinct comes first, and then it's enhanced. So I would say that person would fall under the
natural.
I have a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Since Coulson's been recruiting all of these people, as far as we know from the dialogue, they say that Coulson's been doing this. We don't know that for sure yet.
No, we
because
don't.
We haven't seen what Coulson's doing.
I don't trust them either.
What if Coulson is recruiting a team very much like Suicide Squad? And out of all the powered people that he recruits, he's got them all in a bunker, and Secret Warriors ends up being kind of a Brave and the Bold type, like they do with Suicide Squad over at Arrow. You have a different roster of team members going out on the various different missions, depending on what the mission is. What if Secret Warriors is going to do something like that? Or do we call it Secret Avengers because the next Avengers movie is not until 2019?
See, I think Secret
and you
Warriors...
Keep the Avengers name out there.
In the public eye.
In the public eye, because this show is a marketing tool.
Of course it is.
More than it is anything else. And so what if the spinoff show, at least, is Secret Avengers, and maybe it's a summer thing because we get the second... Next season, we get full season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we get mid-season Agent Carter, summer is Secret Warriors.
There's a rumor going around that the spinoff is going to kill Agent Carter, that they're not going to bring Agent Carter back for a second season because they're going to basically have the spinoff in its place. That's one of the rumors.
Now, there are going to be some people over to Mary Sue that aren't going to be happy about that.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think a lot of people aren't going to be happy about it. Mary Sue or not. I know what you're saying. Well, yeah. and
Agent Carter got better.
Agent Carter did.
It does. It does deserve a second season because it's a fun show to watch.
I would agree, and frankly, I would like it to come back for a second season.
And most shows do get better for their second season.
But here's the thing: is that it really depends on how much money they want to drop into their television division.
Yeah,
because their network TV stuff is not where they're going to be having their biggest playground right now. Mm-hmm. Their biggest playground is what's happening over on Netflix,
which is going to bring them a lot of money.
And a lot of money. So the question becomes:
and given that,
how much do you want to roll this stuff out on network television?
Yeah, but if Agent Carter is still going to be network.
Sure, but
and all of the stuff on Netflix is a co-production with ABC Television Studios, so they have the money. I mean, ABC Television gets
are they going to have the numbers? Because you still have to make. You still have to make money. You still have to get numbers. You still have to. These are all things you have to do.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has the benefit of being almost cancel proof, and as popular as it is still almost cancel proof.
Well, on the Netflix shows, I don't think are you're not going to cancel those.
But the Netflix stuff you're building. You're also building in shorter seasons.
Right. But they're almost guaranteed an audience.
Oh, sure.
Millions of people.
But the thing is that when you roll out something like Daredevil had none of the missteps that the first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. did. I mean, you completely bypass that whole
treading water and waiting.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the spoiler here, but there's one thing in Daredevil that I thought was a misstep. But everything else in that show is just from the casting, from the plotting to the character development, really, really solid show. If they can continue that, they're going to do really well on Netflix, especially considering that they are playing with darker themes here.
Yeah, than they can on broadcast.
Well, or even that they're interested in doing with the movies. I mean, the Marvel movies have a tendency to be fairly fun.
Yeah.
or at least have that sense of fun. But you're getting your darker, grimmer territory on your Netflix, because Daredevil, Daredevil is fairly dark and grim at its core. Jessica Jones could easily be a very gritty, dark show.
I think they all will,
and be in context of the character. You're not taking it into a new place that the people who read the comic are not going to be familiar with. And for the people who haven't read the comic, they've just been primed by Daredevil. I think you could conceivably run a couple of different things on the network stuff, on the regular network programming. Mm-hmm. But it just depends on how much they want to turn it in. Is it going to be a full season replacement, or a full second series of the show, or are we looking at something that fills in the gaps in between the regular broadcast schedule for agents?
I would think that it'd be at least either a mid-season or a shorter summer show.
You talking about the spinoff?
The spinoff, yeah. Daredevil, and just as an FYI for those who know, they've added audience description for visually impaired on Daredevil now. So,
which on one hand caught a lot of people were catching a lot of flack for not having the main character of the show's blind. But apparently they hadn't done this for any of their shows until now.
Well, and not only Netflix, but they've also been trying to get Amazon and Hulu and all of the streaming of
which
things
seems like
to
a
that.
Terrible oversight for these guys to do.
Yeah,
honestly.
But
blind people have money too.
Wait, what?
It's true.
Daredevil.
They want to give you their money.
Yeah, here's Variety, Variety magazine throwing some numbers out here. Daredevil, 4.2 million people already.
On Netflix.
On Netflix.
That's not bad at all.
No.
That's good. Do you know what that 4. Is?
4.2 million. That's better than CW.
Do you know what that is? Mm-hmm. That is half the numbers for the average Doctor Who episode in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And when you consider how many, 8 million people, and that's the first night numbers.
See, Daredevil was 7, our Walking Dead,
numbers.
Walking Dead, oh, yes. 7.5 million.
Yeah, that's good numbers.
Yeah.
That's very...
That is.
And frankly, it well deserves it.
And you mentioned having the one thing that you were disappointed about in the Daredevil series, and we can't get into what
not
that
yet.
Is because
we will wait on that.
My big thing, and I did like the throwaway mention of the girl in the Spanish class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
that was a nice little wink. But one thing that I was disappointed in, and this is something that I was calling for early on. Jennifer Walters did not show up. And there's a character that could have been her. Marcy could have been Jennifer Walters.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, in terms of opportunity, if you're not going to make a cameo, if you want to make her integral to the story, but there's still time, Marvel. Listen to me. There's still time, Jeff Loeb.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Daredevil is going to come back for a second season.
I think Jennifer Walters.
You know
the
that, right?
Wait, I know, but the perfect. But we already know who's coming in season two for Daredevil. That's been talked about.
Okay,
people
sure,
are talking.
Sure.
Okay, so here's in my scenario. I laid this out a long time ago, and I still think that it's doable. Is you introduce Jennifer Walters in Defenders?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And at the end of Defenders, death and destruction and mayhem and chaos and everything blows up, right? And she gets hurt. At the end of Defenders, she wakes up in the hospital and her cousin is out in the hall. Oh, it was really good of you to do your little transfusion thing there.
It's the launch point for S.H.I.E.L.D. It's the post-credit sting.
Yes.
It is completely
and
the
that launches sting. She-Hulk.
Which I think would be absolutely great, but here's the true question: who do you cast?
Katie Sackhoff for everything. No.
Okay, I love Katie Sackhoff.
She wouldn't work for Jennifer Walters.
She's not. tall enough.
Well, here's the
she's just not tall enough.
Let me answer that question with a question. Would you cast the same person for both roles?
Okay. Well, you.
Because if you do like with...
For a television show, the kind of level of motion cap work or the kind of CG work that you're going to want to do for... You can't do that on a TV budget, generally speaking. Now, it depends on how much the money... You know, if they want to drop feature, you know, dollars into an 8-episode series, let's say.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money. Even if you save your She-Hulk moments for, you know...
The thing about it is, though, what Jennifer likes being She-Hulk.
I know.
She chooses to be She-Hulk.
So basically what you want to do is you want to cast an actress who can pull off being a giant green irradiated woman.
Right. And there are not too many of those out there.
Well, actually, we have one, but currently she could play the part because she's tall. She's in fantastic shape. She's a very good actress. Unfortunately, she's playing Mockingbird. Right now, because you know she's 6 feet tall.
Yeah,
on her own.
But she's not the only one out there.
Well, I know, but we all there's a shortage now.
Angie Harmon has lobbied for the part. Angie Harmon was on Conan, I think, and she said, "I would love to play She-Hulk."
Angie Harmon, you know, Angie Harmon could do the part. She could do the part. She's a very good actress.
Yeah, and she's tall.
Yeah,
she could do it. But, I would wonder, though, if she's a little bit too old for the part, though. Depending on what they do with the character,
but
would
she
be too old?
But you know what?
But up against Mark Ruffalo, I think it would work.
Oh, sure.
Age-wise, sure. Yeah. Because they're of an age, and I think they could be, you know, they grew up together or
whatever.
Well,
and we're playing in a Marvel universe. The cinematic universe doesn't have the same restrictions for tying things in. I mean, it's having a younger Daredevil. Because he's younger on the show than he realistically was in the comic when we first encountered him way back when. So having a Jennifer Walters who's an established attorney, or somebody who is, you know, who's not necessarily coming in at the same age as she was in the comic, that's perfectly fine. And you know, Angie Harmon would be great. I hadn't even thought about Angie Harmon.
That's why he brought it up.
I knew. It's like we were working together. We came up with more information. We were able to share that with the world. It's like we've done this before.
It is like that.
But not really, because we've never done this before. This is never in the history of...
Yeah, you guys have done this all the time.
They're fine. We have... But yeah, so the question really becomes is what are they going to do with the spinoff? I mean, yeah. And right now we're getting so... There's people talking about whether or not... Sky and Rayna are going to appear in the Inhumans movie, which is not out for
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I.
Who knows?
I don't know.
It's
when you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, but you know that gives you time to build up awareness of these actors who are maybe not necessarily big screen ready.
Right.
And. You know, you get the audience used to seeing them, and oh, okay, well, naturally they make the jump. It's kind of like with Star Trek.
Maybe they should have some other smaller parts making
the jump to movies in 79.
Yeah, but the question, honestly, you have to build up such a compelling reason to watch these characters week after week after week for the next 4 years.
But if it's an 8-episode run every time,
well, yeah, I know.
You know, in the summer, you know, you're not investing a whole lot of time in telling these stories.
And they're still going to be on S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while now.
Yeah, they'll pop in and out.
And how are the S.H.I.E.L.D. numbers now? Since we recovered, since we never really recovered from our kicked in the teeth losses after the first six episodes.
Yeah.
Or have our numbers rebounded to the point where we're because the audience investment in the characters on the TV show may or may not translate over into a movie version,
right?
You know,
right.
Well, Live Plus 7. This is dated April 6th, mm-hmm. which would have been last week. Live Plus 7. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. plus 1.2 was number 5 in adults 18 to 49 last week.
Mm-hmm.
So it came up last week from the week prior to that. In the final Live Plus 7 day ratings, ABC's Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Say that 10 times fast. ABC's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ranked as the number one program in Tuesday's 9 o'clock hour among adults 18 to 49, leapfrogging over The Voice and then all of the comedies that followed it, to lead by 33%.
Hmm. So we've seen a fairly sizable rebound up on numbers.
Yeah, it's bounced up.
That's good.
That's very good. And that tells me that, you know, since that's a Live Plus 7 number, that's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth is saying, "Hey, it's not too bad. It's not terrible now."
Well, I think that if the folks who stuck with it, like us, who had a reason to stick, who felt like they had a reason to stick with it without even talking about the show,
How about Catherine Bell as Jennifer Walters?
He's back on the casting.
Well, she's in a series now on Lifetime or Hallmark or the Good Witch series.
Yeah.
Because that turned out to be fairly popular in the TV movies thing, so they spun it off into a series. Mm-hmm. And she's the lead on that. Of course, you know, we know her from JAG. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying that she'd make a good Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She's tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I don't know. Back to your point.
Okay.
I don't know. I've now got my head. I'm thinking about these various sundry people.
You know, back in the first season, we used to have a segment that, you know, our least favorite and our favorite part.
Oh.
We don't do that anymore.
Well, yeah.
We kind of spread that out throughout the whole thing.
We just kind of bounce around on all of it.
There's a whole lot of least favorite moments.
For you.
For me.
For you.
On this?
Yeah. One of my favorite moments was May's portrayal at... Mm-hmm. With she and Coulson, after she comes out, and the guys are all talking about her being the cavalry, and we understand how she got how that story grew, and the way it broke her down, her emotional portrayal right then. I thought that was really strong.
Really good.
Yeah,
it was a very nice emotional moment. We don't get a whole lot of that from her.
No, and that's why it was. I think that's why it was so powerful.
I think so. I think you're right, and. That set where she ended up, you know, at the desk after that, you don't think they've been keeping that around in storage this whole time? I mean, it's a good match for the pilot.
Well, I think the odds are pretty good. It's a modular kind of thing they can just throw together.
It's desk and
cubicle walls and looking at the footage from the first episode.
Yeah.
And that's not exciting to you?
Well, actually, as a production designer, it kind of is. It's like, it looked really good.
It matches. Because that's one of the things. You sit there and you go, are they going to, you know, the continuity.
I don't think it was a set.
The continuity. Well, yeah.
I think it's just they're part of the studio's offices. They just go down and shoot it right there.
Actually, it's entirely possible.
It could be.
Yeah, however,
it could be.
In either event,
they manipulated the lighting nicely, though.
It takes you back to that place where you we met her in the first place.
Yeah.
So
interestingly enough, though, too, the wardrobe. If you'll notice, she's wearing the white shirt in all the flashback stuff, and that white shirt is what she's wearing in the office after she's transferred, and that's what we see her in when Coulson comes to get her. And once she's back out in the field, it's all black.
Yeah.
There's now an emotional context to that choice that we didn't have before, I think.
Yeah. Well, and there's a looseness to her that appears in the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comfort with the world that she
interacting with people.
And and everything else becomes
it's gone after
everything.
That.
Well, it's still there, but it's walled up. It's all still there. It's just that she's basically controlling it. We know it's still there because we saw her interact with her ex-husband.
That's true.
And she loosened up. You've heard her interact with Coulson and seen her interact with Coulson where she's let that guard down. But here you see what it was like before she put up the walls in the first place.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got 5-ish episodes left.
Ish.
Mm-hmm. setting up for Age of Ultron, Secret Warriors, Secret Avengers.
It's
Agents of Hammer.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Strike,
2,
Sword,
Electric Boogaloo.
Everything. We'll just throw it all in. And Dazzler 2.
Let's.
Oh, no.
They've been trying to make that movie since the 80s, so they can make it happen now. Yes!
I think it's going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There
yes,
you go.
That's it.
You know, that'll be Marvel's first musical.
Oh, well, you know, Gem and the Holograms is in production, is in post-production.
Yes.
What?
And well, oh, yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah, and strangely enough,
you still have to have the musical episode for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, but you know, it would be nice if the creator of Gem and the Holograms was allowed to be part of the project. Oh wait.
Yeah. All right.
That's a whole other show.
Yes. And we do thank you, our listeners, for being a part of this program. If you want to leave us a comment or let us know your theories about where the spinoff's going to go and what characters are going to go where. We don't have a death poll yet. I mean, nobody even looks like they're going to be dead.
No.
Which means somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
You can leave us a comment here or on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Pinterest, Google+, and YouTube. Or you can send us an email, level1187@scifivermedia.com. And if you are listening to this show because somebody shared it with you, you can subscribe yourself. We are on iTunes for an Apple device. If you're on an Android, we're on DoubleTwist, OneCast, or Stitcher. Just look for Sci-Fi for Me Radio. And that's another one in the can. And we will be back next week with another one. Dan Handley.
Good night.
Here. Maya Aids.
Good night.
Tim Harvey.
Good night.
And for all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, where you can find all of the latest headlines over at scififorme.com. I'm Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for listening. We will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of scififorme.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.